the Affordable Care Act has dramatically expanded coverage for low-income individuals and families. But in doing so, it has also placed unprecedented strain on the doctors and institutions that form the nation's healthcare safety net. Kai Wright reports from Newark, where for some safety net providers, the law has opened up new opportunities. But for others, it has spawned chaos and crisis.
When it comes to taking care of poor people, Dr. Sandra Scott is arguably the most consequential physician in New Jersey. She heads up emergency medicine at Newark's University Hospital, which means she oversees the care of more uninsured and Medicaid-enrolled patients than anybody in the state. So if the Affordable Care Act can be reduced to one core aim, it's this: that fewer people show up at Dr. Scott's door looking for primary care.
Some people will come to the emergency department every single month to get their medication refill. You know, some people think that I'm their primary care physician. So they'll show up and I'll say, "Do you have a doctor?" They say, "Yes, you." And I'm like, "No, I'm the emergency physician. Do you have a primary care doctor?" I'm like, "Oh."
But contrary to conventional wisdom, Dr. Scott thinks this is an entirely appropriate challenge for her team to confront. And to her, Obamacare isn't about getting rid of her primary care patients. It's about better serving them.
Which clinic do you go to, Mr. Higgins?
Dr. Scott's trying to figure out why one of her most frequent patients is back in the ER instead of at a clinic. He's an elderly Jamaican immigrant with asthma, a lingering leg injury, and no home. He's lived on the street since his wife died 6 years ago. He explains that the clinic requires appointments, and he can't get around reliably enough for that kind of scheduling. She picks a bug off of his shirt and tells him she gets it. It's a swelteringly hot day, and she suspects he just wanted to sit in the air conditioning. As Dr. Scott talks with Mr. Higgins, trauma swirls around them. There's a guy with blood gushing from his eye, a woman screaming in agony on a gurney, and this is a relatively slow afternoon shift. The challenge her team faces lies in managing the gap between these patients and those like Mr. Higgins. It's not just that they see a lot of people. It's that the treatment needs range from asthma attacks to gunshot wounds.
So you take a busy Friday night that's a high acuity, high volume, and you tell the ED physician, you better make sure you teach your patient about asthma and make sure you talk to your patient about, like, you know, reducing their salt for their hypertension. It's a tall order.
One solution has been to create what is essentially a primary care clinic inside the ER. It looks and feels just like a regular doctor's office, with none of the blood and none of the screaming of an actual emergency room. And Dr. Scott has no problem with that space serving as a front door to the health system for poor residents. Rather, her problem has always been where to send those people once she's ushered them inside. And that, she says, is a problem that the Affordable Care Act has turned into an opportunity.
We had all of these patients, and we were begging people to please, can you follow up on my patient with diabetes, and can you please, please, please take my patient in your clinic.
Now, Obamacare's financial incentives have drawn into the mix more primary care providers, who are eager to link newly insured patients with newly profitable preventive care.
So they're saying, hey, Dr. Scott, can we have some more of your patients? We'd be happy to take your patients.
But while the Affordable Care Act has significantly improved upon Dr. Scott's ability to provide good care, it has thus far had a much different impact on Dr. Alan Goldsmith. He's president of the Jewish Renaissance Medical Center, a community health center with locations in Newark and Perth Amboy. And from his vantage, these first months under Obamacare have not been such giddy times.
Hopefully, we're going to be able to keep our doors open, but it's becoming a problem.
Community health centers are, in essence, the primary care version of public hospitals. They're nonprofits, registered by the federal government to care for anyone who shows up looking for help. In return, they're reimbursed by federal and state money. In the lexicon of health policy, it's called charity care. And New Jersey spends about $40 million a year on the effort, according to the state health department. But the program includes an important rule. Charity care is a payer of last resort. That means providers are reimbursed only for patients who have no other choices, which begs a wonky but crucial question. What about all those uninsured people who qualified for Obamacare but didn't sign up? Do they still get charity care? The answer depends on who you ask.
It's very clear, and it's been verbally told to us, and I'm pretty sure it's been written down and sent to our CEO, that if a patient qualifies for the Affordable Care Act or for Medicaid, expanded Medicaid, that they will not be seen on charity care at all.
Dr. Goldsmith says he's stuck between federal rules that clearly stipulate who qualifies for free and reduced cost treatment and utter chaos at the state level, which is where he gets paid for that treatment. After several attempts to get clarity on the state's reimbursement policy, a health department spokesperson would say only that the rules are under review. Certainly, advocates say there are more questions than answers on a wide range of new rules that must be rewritten in light of Obamacare. In the meantime, Goldsmith says safety net providers are eating the costs.
So what we saw in 3 months, we probably dropped over $1 million.
In 3 months' time?
In 3 months' time, yes.
It's not just the charity care payments. Community health centers are facing a host of financial challenges. There is, for instance, the state's backlog in processing tens of thousands of Medicaid applications. When patients sign up, providers start offering treatment right away, but they don't get paid until final approval. And that process is now stretching out for months, again, leaving the safety net providers holding the bag.
So if you're losing $1 million in 3 months by not turning away patients, how long could you sustain that?
Possibly another 6 months, possibly a year. That's all.
Community health centers everywhere are walking toward another, even larger financial cliff. The Affordable Care Act budgeted $11 billion to help them absorb millions of new patients coming out of the woodwork, some newly insured, some not. But that money runs out next year, and advocates are deeply concerned that a Republican Congress, which has been hostile to the law overall, will not approve new funding. A recent George Washington University study estimated that the funding loss would reduce capacity by roughly 7 million patients nationwide. So while for some places, like University Hospital, the Affordable Care Act is already dramatically strengthening the healthcare safety net, the trick is making sure new holes aren't torn open in the process. For WNYC, I'm Kai Wright.